asking me about Sports Authority Field. Can you give us any kind of update in terms of...
Let me get to that.
Oh, okay.
All right, but let me start off just with a few quick things before. That's all right. First of all, welcome back, everybody. Nice to be back. Excited for the start of a new year. I think this really kind of kicks it off, obviously. And we had a tremendous season last year. Obviously, we put that behind us and we move forward and try to do exactly what we did last year and win another Super Bowl. We've had a good off season, brought in some good players. Excited about how we'll be able to compete this year. John's done a great job of molding and bringing together this team. And if Gary Kubiak does as good a job as he did last year, I think things will really look up for the Broncos. So I'm excited. Glad to see you all again and glad to be back. And I guess that was the first question. Right now there's still some things proceeding in the bankruptcy court with the district, which owns the right to the actual name. We have a partnership with them on naming rights. Ours is no longer in existence. We're helping them. We're trying to find a new partner for it. I think it's important that we do get one, and I realize there is some sentiment or maybe a little sentiment out there for some other solution. But, you know, when you look at these stadiums and what they cost today to build and what we're facing in terms of maintaining it and upkeeping it and upgrading it moving forward, I think, we've had some forecasts done, some analysis done. It'll cost up to $300 million over the next 30 years. And what I don't think and what we don't think will want to happen is just to let it slide and not attack the problems or not attack solutions, whichever you may say, early in the process where it will cost less. Go about it that way rather than wait around and then all of a sudden be stuck with a burden of what we were 15, 16 years ago now of having to build a new stadium, actually 18, 19 years ago. And, I really think that this is a maintenance and improvement issue, and these funds from naming rights do go a long way. They don't solve it all. We'll pitch in. There's going to be other ways to create revenue. But it's something that needs to happen because I look at what the new stadium in Los Angeles costs, some of the other ones that have come online. We built our stadium together with the district for $467 million. And I think L.A., which is a full complex, I think the stadium and the complex are going to cost north of $2.5 billion coming up in a couple of years when they open that up. So the goal is to continue to strive and make Sports Authority feel better for our fans and for everyone that uses it. It's not just the Broncos. We have other events in there, as you well know. It's the Citizens Stadium in a seven-county district that helped us build it. And we owe it to them to do as much as we can to keep it standing and improve it down the road for many years to come. And as I said, naming rights money has a lot to do with that. So that's a long-winded answer of saying Sports Authority stays on the stadium for now. And our hope, we're working with the district to try to come up with some ideas for a new partner. And hopefully, we don't have a real timetable on that, but hopefully at some point that will happen.
Are you vetting suitors for the naming rights a little more seriously so this doesn't happen again?
It's a fair point, fair question. You do as much as you can. You don't know what's going to happen in a changing economy that goes quickly with any particular company in any different sector. Certainly there's some lessons learned, I think, for that, from what came out of that in terms of how things went for Sports Authority. They were a great partner for us. Sad to see it happen to so many people and so many employees. We enjoyed our relationship with them, did a lot together, not just with the stadium, but on other platforms. So, but the question is a fair one and certainly something that needs to be analyzed.
Joe, what concerns do you have with the Keeves situation and any kind of updates you can give?
Well, I can't talk too much about what happened because it's under investigation, I think, in Dallas and whatever the league is proceeding with. I know John has talked to him, maybe Coach Kubiak, a couple of others. I think you always want your players to just try and make good decisions and put themselves in positions where they aren't going to be in harm or anything like that. Having said that, I talked to Khalib. I didn't talk to him about the incident. I just talked to him about how he was doing physically. And he seems to be coming along, which is good. I tell you what, he's been an excellent teammate and an excellent player for us. He's here on time, engaged in meetings, really engaged in practice. He brings a real competitive fire to that defense, I think. He had a terrific year last year. He's a key component to the team. So I think my hope is that he can get back on the field as soon as possible, and then whatever happens in the course of the investigation that's going on, it happens. You know, we'll see. We don't know what's going to happen from that.
Joe, how is Mr. Boland, and is there any long-term update on the ownership situation for the team?
Mr. Boland's doing pretty well. Thanks for asking. And, as well as he can be, fighting a really, really tough disease. I think it still remains very difficult for Annabelle and the children to, and obviously for him, but them as caregivers. It's just unfair, you know. The status is not unchanged. You know, when a child emerges that has the capability and has earned the right to have that job, take over their father's chair, the three trustees will determine that, and you all will know that. And that's really, nothing has really changed anything dramatically. It's good to see. I mean, Brittany's gone back to school, one of the children. Beth left and completed her law degree. Johnny's gone on to do some other things, but there's no change in terms of, you know, there's no scoreboard, no leaderboard. We're not handicapping the children or anything like that at this point.
John, I leave the football stuff up to John and his staff, but with the Von Miller negotiations, how, if at all, were you involved, and were you nervous at all that maybe it wasn't going to get done, a long-term deal that was going to cement him here, and he was talking about sitting out? So just kind of take us through your involvement in that.
Yeah, no, I really wasn't nervous. I didn't think it would become as public as it did, but it did. I mean, that was probably naive on my part. This is a guy that just won the Super Bowl MVP and finished off a postseason that really catapulted us to the title, no question about that. But, you know, these things, this is high-stakes poker, and they usually come down to the wire. And I wasn't surprised by that at all.
Were you dropped out of any pictures that we missed?
Not that I've not. Maybe. I don't know. You know, sometimes you escape those things and you don't see them on social media, but I don't know.
How often do you ask about the quarterback situation, and kind of what is your answer to fans that you see out, because you're in the community a lot?
Yeah, I'd give you the same answer that John gave you, that this exact same one that he gave me, because I asked him yesterday, you know. And up until then, it was like, I don't know. So that was it. Then we had a good conversation yesterday, and, you know, he's brought in Mark and ready to compete, and Trevor, obviously, familiarity from last year, and very excited about our first-round draft pick, so Paxton Lynch. So I think, we'll see what happens. Open competition, and I know everybody's eyes in here will be on that for sure.
Mr. Ellis, the Broncos have been one of the most winningest organizations in the fallen era. When you chase a championship, you achieve that goal. How do you then reinvest, especially from your position, and make sure that the goal is still the same each year?
You know, I think the only thing I, having learned this from Pat Boland, was just make sure you support your football team and the football department. First and foremost, they come first. And secondly, give them all the resources that they need, absolutely, everything that they need to try and win a Super Bowl. And, you know, you're not going to do it every year. I've told some of you that in here many a time, but you sure as heck better try. And if we're not doing that for John and Gary and these players and the staff and everything else, everyone dedicated to football, we put football first. If we're not doing that, we don't have a chance. So I think that's just sort of the one mandate that I can hand down, and everybody else knows it because we've lived it for so many years consistently with this ownership of Mr. Boland. And you just look at his track record, it works. Bringing in John has proved to be terrific. He's had five great years. I think we have one player that he didn't either draft or select or have, you know, I think that might be Demaryius Thomas. Every other player came from John. He picked him, he drafted him, he signed him, he brought him off the streets if they were street free agents, that kind of thing. He's done a masterful job of putting a good team together. Very competitive, you all know that, and I think it's just he's putting us in a position year in and year out to flourish and be competitive and go to the postseason and try and win a Super Bowl. And that's what it's about. That's all it's about for all it has been about for Mr. Boland, and certainly that's what it's all about for John and Coach Kubiak and everyone else.
Joe, what do you
What have you seen in the growth of John Elway over that five-year period, from the time he began as a rookie front office guy, so to speak, till now?
Yeah, I think there's just things that he picks up instinctively now that obviously you learn over every year. You face different situations. He's probably faced them all now, whether it's in signing players at various levels of skill or you know, shaping the roster, what you need. I mean, I do remember, John, I think I'm right on this. You guys will correct me if I'm wrong. When he got here, he said, we got to build a really solid defense because it'll help us win a championship. And 5 years later, he was right. That proved to be true. So, you know, it takes some patience. It takes some time to get everybody to come together in the right fashion. We were able to do that last year. I thought Coach Kubiak, Coach Phillips, Coach Dennison, the whole staff, everybody, Coach Joe D, you know, all of the assistant coaches really did a great job last year of managing this team and really just getting everything they could, out of this team. And, you know, the challenge is now you got to go back and do it again. And it's never easy, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see how we do, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Joe, during contract negotiations, Von Miller called the franchise tag a league-wide problem. Those were his words. Do you expect there to be conversations about the future of the franchise tag when it's time to look at a new CBA down the road?
I'm sure the player side would bring it up because every player that's been tagged probably doesn't like it. But on the other hand, you know, there are things I think – in all honesty, if you look at this, and someone might again correct me if I'm wrong, I think this stemmed back to the days of John Elway when he was a player. And Pat Bowlen actually invoked this concept of, look, I don't want to lose my best player, someone that's that important to the franchise. And I think the owners have always appreciated that in sitting in the room during meetings. And it's been something they've never wanted to get let go of. And so I think it's going to be very difficult in terms of negotiation as to where that ends up. I can't predict, but you might have two people at this point in time, two different groups, I should say, with their feet in the sand on something like this.
Joe, you guys have had a pretty healthy corporate partnership performance in the last handful of years, especially I think since Peyton's gotten here. By winning a Super Bowl, has the demand or excitement of businesses wanting to partner with the Broncos gone up, or has it kind of evened off?
It has gone up a little bit, yeah. Everybody is interested. Now, you know, they're all interested in different levels, and it's a high-grade opportunity for us because we can be selective and really bring in partners that not only will benefit us, but where we can add benefit to them and in the community. So many of our partnerships involve community programs, plans, endeavors in the final agreement that we reach with them. So we've been lucky enough. Now we've had, you know, we've also over time solidified a lot of business arrangements, partnerships that are long-term. So they just remain there and you know, hopefully we can keep sustaining those over time. So what I'm trying to tell you is there's not a huge incremental change in business. But there is a lot of interest, obviously, and we're very, very grateful for that, very fortunate, and hopefully it continues.
Second year having the training camp since all the renovations, how pleased were you with how things were for the fans last year with the hillside and everything up there?
I thought it worked well. You know, I'm still lobbying for misters, you know, like they have in Las Vegas hotels up on the hill, I think I'd have a little more power to be able to get that done, but somehow I can't. Well, there's complications behind it, which nobody needs to get into. But I want the fans to know I'm thinking of them because it can get hot on that hill. Having said that, you know, we do take some steps up above to make sure that they're hydrated and having a good time. And I think the players and the coaches acknowledge that the fans are out there. Loyally, dutifully. I mean, the support is remarkable. I think we've had, over 55,000 last year or something showing up, you know, averaging over 4,000 a day. The support for this team continues to really amaze me, and we're, as I've said so many times to all of you, to have that is, we're just very, very lucky. So You know, it's worked very well. The indoor facility has worked very great, and I will thank Gary Kubiak personally for using it a lot, because I wasn't so sure. Some coaches don't like to go inside much. He goes inside a lot. He feels like he can get a lot of work done in there, and we concentrate well when we go in and work there. That doesn't involve fan involvement, or it doesn't include fan involvement, but that's an important part of Gary getting his work done. Seemed to pay off last year, and hopefully it'll continue this year. So overall, you know, the UCL training camp or training center has worked out great for us here, the improvements, and we look forward to seeing huge crowds come out again this year.
Joe, you've obviously been with the team for,
you know, starting in the early 80s and so on and so forth. Can you tell us what's the big difference between the Elway GM era compared to the other three decades that you were with the Broncos?
Yeah, I don't want to get into too much into comparisons, Brandon, but, you know, the one thing that I will say about John Elway is that he can look at things and understand things at 50,000 feet, at 25,000 feet, and at ground level. And I think that's a unique characteristic, because there are a lot of things that affect the big picture of the franchise and its image and its brand in the community and across the league and across the country. And there are things that affect the team maybe just at the team level, and then there are things that affect the team, you know, right on the ground individually in terms of individual players and things like that. So I think he gets all of that. Every time I have a conversation with him, I don't have to do a lot of explaining. And, you know, he's a very smart guy. He's got good business instincts. And you know, he knows how to put together a team. He has great understanding of what it takes, having played the most important position on the field, arguably, for so many years. His dad was a coach. I mean, there's so many different components. I'm leaving a few out. So he brings really a unique skill set that no one else few others, if any others, have in the league at his position. And I think it's one of the reasons why he's really the best at what he does.
And then another thing that's probably not super exciting for the reporters here, but I know your story a little bit. On the business side, do you ever talk to some of these interns and tell them, you know, how you used to kind of stand in the same place and how you walked Groot into your place and all that stuff is kind of like as a business leader?
Maybe I should think they're more interested in that. I don't know. I mean, occasionally some people ask, you know, but I don't go out of my way to tell them all the boring details of my story. But I mean, you know, I've just been lucky is what it is. You know, I latched on to a great owner just as I was leaving in 1986. Pat had bought the team 2 years earlier, so I had 2 years with him. He and John Beek got me back to interview with Roger Goodell, Joe Brown, and I ended up working in Commissioner Tagliabue's office when it was, you know, one quarter the size that it is today. The league has grown exponentially through those years. I got to work directly for Roger Goodell on a lot of important projects because he aggressively sought responsibility at the time and was ambitious, and I was able to piggyback on that, and then Pat saw that. I was able to participate in some committee work, and he gave me an opportunity in 1998, and I'm forever grateful for that.
Do you think the NFL does a good job of keeping the parity and stopping the quote-unquote super teams that we're now seeing in the NBA? Do you think that's important?
Well, I think the salary cap era has a lot to do with that, the draft system. You know, certainly those components. Everybody has the same allocation of dollars to spend on players. You know, the league is very, it thrives in that specific player allocation system. And players thrive in it too. You know, they do. Their percentages went down slightly in the last agreement, but their dollars have gone way, way up. And that was the argument that was made, and it's proven to be true. And that is not going to go, in my view, as I look at the forecast out a few years, it's not going to get worse. It's only going to get better for players. So everybody has benefited from this.
Anything else for Joe?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe.